Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast for the Wilmington, Ohio Church of Christ. We pray that this message will inspire you and help you grow closer to God in your faith. Be sure to stick around after the message to find out more about how you can take your next best step. Enjoy the message. In 2007 and 2008, Nick Folk quickly established himself as one of the best field goal kickers in the NFL. He only missed a handful of kicks over the span of two seasons playing for the Dallas Cowboys. He was one of the most popular kickers in the NFL. However, in 2009, it felt like Nick Folk couldn't make a single kick. He missed several kicks, 10 kicks, at the beginning of the season. The last one led to him being cut from the Dallas Cowboys. It was only a 24-yard field goal attempt. And for a kicker, that should be pretty easy to make. Nick says he remembered how much the news and the media would place him on such a pedestal. They would say he's one of the best kickers in the NFL. They even said he sold more jerseys than any other kicker. So this drove him to work with sports trainers trying to obtain that status once again. After seeing no positive results, he began to see a sports psychiatrist because they believed he had developed a case of the yips. If you do not know what the yips are, it's a case of mental block where the athlete can't even perform the basic fundamentals of the sport. And so word about him having the yips began to spread. The news and the media took a hold of the story. They ran with it. Articles were published. One said that he would always have the yips. Another one said he would never play in the NFL again. One media outlet said that he never had the yips. He was always overrated. This began to cause a major shift for Nick from being determined to be the best once again to now a state of depression, believing that what they're telling is true. Nick said he would stay up late at night. He would grasp a football in his hands, wondering if he would ever play again. He said one night he sat up alone on a couch in the dark, holding a football in his hands, and out of his mouth, he muttered the words, "I don't know who I am without this." How crazy is that? That you can go from being the best based on what others say about you to a state of depression based on what others say about you. You see, the whole time this was going on, Nick's mother was urging him to go and see a specialist that she found because she wanted him to get a second opinion. But he refused to do this because he believed them when they said it was just a case of the yips. But after a while of persuading, he finally went to the doctor. They did some scans and they found out that he had a labrum tear on his right hip. And this was causing the problem when he tried to kick. They were able to do surgery. He recovered, and he's actually had a pretty successful career since. He currently plays for the New England Patriots. However, Nick said, it's crazy how much time he wasted believing what others said about him instead of discovering the truth for himself. Church, this story is pretty relatable because we live out what we believe to be true about ourselves, whether it's true or not. Our identity, it's what drives our activity. We will live out what we believe to be true about ourselves. Some of the mindsets we see often in our culture today is, if I am what I do, then I always need to do more to maintain my value. Or if I believe what other people say I am, I will always try to live that out, seeking the approval of others. But if I am who God says I am, there is an identity in that. There is freedom and a purpose attached. So where do we go to find our identity? I remember seeing a video from Steve Jobs. If you're unfamiliar with who he is the creator of Apple, and probably you're familiar with that if you have one of their phones. He actually, in a conference, there's a video, he unveiled in a conference the very first iPhone. And people went crazy. People were astounded that you could get a camera, you could get email, internet, a phone inside of one tiny device. When he unveiled it, people went crazy. They started cheering. He didn't even have to prove that it worked. He just said, this is what it is, and they went crazy. However, behind the scenes, when Steve brought a prototype into a shareholders meeting, when he brought the prototype out, before he could even speak, other people started to give input on what they thought it was. One person said, is that a camera? The other guy said, no, it's not a camera, it's a phone. Someone else said, it's got to be a camera, it has a lens. Someone else said, I didn't know we're getting into the camera game. Someone else said, I didn't either. They were going back and forth until Steve Jobs had to stop them. And Steve said, hang on, I am the creator of this, so let me tell you what it is and how it functions. If we want to know more about our identity, we need to know more about the one who created us, the one who formed us, the one who has naming rights over us. And God has given us a way to know this. God has given us his inspired word, scripture, the Bible. He has given us this to reveal these things. This is why we study scripture. Church, when we study scripture, we discover more about who God is. We also discover who we are in light of who he is. Our identity is never disconnected from being with him. When we study scripture, it reveals who God is and who we are in light of that. And he has given us his word. He has given us scripture. It's revealing. It's powerful. It speaks to us in different ways. I actually love, one of my favorite verses is in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word is powerful. It's active. God wants to reveal who he is to you through scripture. He wants to reveal who you are through scripture. And to do this, he gives us a habit we can develop, a habit that can draw us closer to him. He gives us his word, and this is why we study scripture. This is why we study scripture. You might be wondering, what does our identity have to do with these habits? What does our identity have to do with these habits? Something I want us to see today, church, before we go any further. I want us to see that your habits shape your identity and your identity shapes your habits. Your habits shape your identity and your identity shapes your habits. The word habits here, the word identity, it comes from actually these two Latin words, identitem, which means repeatedly, and accentitas, which means being. Identitem, accentitas. So in Latin, the word for identity means your repeated beingness. Your repeated beingness. So this means that literally your habits are your identity and your identity is your habits. So if we want to become more like Jesus, we have to learn how to spend time with Jesus. And he has given us these habits so we can accomplish this. He has given us habits we can develop that will draw us closer into relationship with who he is and who we are because he wants to reveal intimate things with you. However, for these habits to work, we need to know that our identity is in Christ. For these habits to work in the way they should, for them to be effective the way they should, we need to understand our identity is in Christ because knowing who you are influences the way you live. Knowing who you are influences the way you live. We are in this series called Being, and we are discussing the Keystone Habits. Dale set this up last week, did a fantastic job. The Keystone Habits that Christ gives us that we can develop that will draw us closer into relationship with him and closer to being like him. Because to be like Jesus, you have to be with Jesus. And we use this phrase, the Keystone Habits. What that means, Dale discussed this last week, a Keystone Habit is a habit we can develop that will unintentionally spill over into every area of our life. And so we are talking about these keystone habits. The first one we're discussing this week is the habit of studying Scripture. The habit of studying Scripture. Each one of these keystone habits are very important, all right? We're going to discuss them throughout the next several weeks. Each one of these habits are very important. However, the habit of studying Scripture is our foundation. Scripture is our foundation. It is where we go to discover who God is, who we are in light of who he is. It's where we go to. It's God's tangible words given to us. It's one of the primary ways he speaks to us. It is where we go to discover these keystone habits and how they function. It's where we go to discover that God so loved the world, he sent his son. That man's name is Jesus, and he is who we strive to become like. He is who we want to be with and learn from. So if we want to be like Jesus, something we need to understand about Jesus, if we're trying to become like him, something we need to understand about him is that Jesus had a thorough understanding of Scripture. Jesus had a thorough understanding. Although he's fully God, he's also fully man, and he knew how to study. He knew Scripture. In Luke chapter 2, we read what's really the only story about Jesus as an adolescent 12-year-old boy. And in this story, his parents, they took him to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When the festival was over, they were returning home, and they found out they lost Jesus in the city for 3 days. Can you imagine losing your child in the city for 3 days? Some of you are like, that's not a bad idea. Don't get any ideas from this. Because when they found Jesus, they found him in the synagogue. I don't know if you would find your child at the synagogue, but some of you would probably find him at the Bengals stadium. Some people think that's a house of worship. But can you imagine losing your child? But when they found him in the synagogue. He was learning from the teachers. He was asking questions. He was giving input. Scripture says that the teachers were astounded at the level of his understanding, at the input and the questions he was asking. Jesus had a thorough understanding, even at that age, of Scripture. And throughout all four Gospels, we see 80 instances where Jesus is actually quoting Old Testament Scripture. I think this is amazing. Pastor and author Tim Keller, he states that throughout the New Testament in its entirety, there is over 1,800 red letter verses. 1,800 red letter verses. Red letter verses means that Jesus himself is speaking. Tim Keller says out of 1,800 verses, 180 of those is Jesus quoting Old Testament Scripture. Jesus quoting. How amazing is that? Church, what would our lives look like if 10% of everything we spoke came from Scripture? What would your marriage look like if 10% of everything you spoke came from this book? What would your family look like? What would your job look like? Earlier this year, we did a study based on the vision of our church, and that is to have a disciple in every home in our community, in Clinton County. And we studied how the New Testament church, how the original church did things. One of my favorite verses we looked at was from Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. It doesn't say they just read the apostles' teaching. They didn't just hear it and say, oh, that's nice. They didn't just say, okay, yeah, we'll do this on Sundays. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And what came out of that? Verse later, it said, the number of people that were being saved increased daily. Can you imagine? The number of people being saved increased daily. What we just witnessed earlier, increased daily. Church, what would our community look like if every time we stepped outside of these four walls, 10% of everything that left our mouth came from this book? What would our life look like? What would our community look like if we devoted ourselves to this? Can you imagine what the world would look like if just 10% of what came, if just 5%? We should have a desire to speak Scripture into the world, not just to show that we have a knowledge of it. Why should we have a desire to speak Scripture into the world? All Scripture points to Jesus. All scripture points to Jesus. Everything from Genesis to Revelation, everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. Everything in the Gospels, when Jesus was here on earth, it points to Jesus. Everything the New Testament church did after he ascended, it all points to Jesus. Jesus actually reveals that all scripture points to him to the disciples. We see this in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, during this time, Jesus, he has already resurrected. He's walking about. However, the disciples, they are still living in fear. They are still confused. The picture of what they thought life would be like, that's shattered. So they were confused, scared. Luke 24 describes them as being quarantined inside of this room, locking the world away, living in fear. Then, bam, Jesus appears to them. Scholars believe he came through the wall. And he begins to have a conversation with them. Let's look at this. Luke 24, verse 44. It says, he said to them, this is Jesus talking, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Then he opened up their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Scripture reveals so many things. And it ministers to everyone in different ways. But there are three things right now I want us to see that it reveals. Number one, Scripture reveals who God is. It reveals who God is. Jesus is telling them, he's like, okay, we've already talked about this before, but now I want to discuss this one more time because I want you to grasp this. I want your minds to understand this. He's saying, everything in Scripture points to me. Everything in Scripture reveals I am God in flesh. He's seen everything in the law of Moses, that's the first five books of the Bible, everything in the Psalms, all of the prophecies that had to be fulfilled, I fulfilled them. I am the one who fulfilled them. I am the Messiah. I am God in flesh, and I am revealing myself to you. He needs them to get this. After this, he would ascend into heaven. So for one last time, he gets with his disciples, and they discuss scripture, and he's like, I'm going to help you connect the dots. He needs them to understand this because he would go on to commission them to go out and point the world to Jesus. He is the reason for scripture. Jesus is God in flesh. He's revealing that. Let's look at verse 46. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. He's like, in case you haven't seen what's going on, I did that. So there's a hint for you. And the repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He is going into the Great Commission right here. Let's look at verse 48. You are witnesses of these things. You are witnesses. Scripture not only reveals who God is, Scripture reveals who we are in light of who he is. Jesus is saying, I have just told you who I am. I have come, I am the Messiah, I have done all of these things, everything points to me, I'm revealing who I am to you, now let me tell you who you are. Let me give you your identity. You are witnesses of these things. You are my witness. Jesus is telling them this because he's telling them, my time here on earth is done. So now I need you to go and continue my ministry, and just like Scripture, we point people to Jesus. Just like Scripture, we point people to Jesus. We are witnesses. But now, I think it's very important that we notice what comes next. Verse 49, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. He's talking about power of the Holy Spirit. He also speaks about this when we look at the ascension story in Acts chapter 1. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, I think it's very important we notice what comes next. He says we are his witnesses, but we need to see a fuller picture of what he means by this. And so to do this, we're going to look at the ascension story in Matthew 28 in a parallel account. This is what we call the Great Commission, verse 19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of age. Scripture not only reveals who we are as his witnesses, Scripture also reveals the details of our commission. This is very important. We are called to be his witnesses, but for many of us, we can put our own spin on what that really means. If I was to say, I'm going to go witness and tell others about Jesus, that means I can go and simply just tell people about Jesus and leave them there. But that's not what he says. Yet that's what we do so often. We simply tell people about Jesus, but he's saying that's just step one. He gives us the details of the commission of what we're supposed to do. He says, go and make disciples. Step one, tell them about Jesus, then make disciples out of them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. To make a disciple means that you are training someone up towards godliness, training them up to pursue to be like Jesus. And if you are training a disciple will make disciples, so you are training someone up to do what you just did for them, to go and make disciples, to teach them how to develop these habits we're talking about that can draw us closer to Jesus. He gives us the details. He says, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So this process doesn't just happen overnight. It's a pursuit. It's a life calling. It's not just simply tell them about me. He wants us to make disciples out of them. So he not just reveals who he is and who we are, he also reveals the details of what he wants us to do. And he reveals it through Scripture. When we study Scripture, we discover more about who God is and who we are in light of who he is. Our identity, I love this, our identity is never disconnected from being with him. Yet what we see so much in our world today is we are connecting our identity with what we do instead of on the Word of God. We associate our identity with what we do, and because of what we do, I'm going to let that define everything I am. If I was to ask you this morning what you do, I would hear answers like, oh, I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, I'm a teacher, I'm a construction worker, I'm a barista, I'm a student. Other ways we define ourselves and place our identity in our culture is, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm a Libertarian. Other ways we define ourselves is by saying, I'm a parent. You know, I'm the mom of this kid, or I am the son of so-and-so, or I am the grandparents of them. And listen, not all of these things are bad things. However, good things can become bad things when they begin to replace the identity Christ has put over your life. All of these things can fade. They all can fade. They're all subject to change. Careers come and go. Relationships, old relationships fade, new relationships are formed. Success can come and go. Things we thought would last forever can change. I mean, who would have ever thought that we would have seen the day that Tom Brady retired from the NFL? But as we've learned from that situation, even retirement plans can change. When things change, it can begin to reveal what you put your faith in. And what you put your faith in is what you worship, because what you worship is based on what you value the most. And that's often what we put our identity in. So, when things of the world begin to fade, no matter what you are connected to, whether it's a job, whether it's a family member, whether it's a relationship that's defining you, whether it's something tangible, when things begin to fade in your life, where is your faith left standing? Where's your identity left standing? Is it standing on the Word of God, or is it fading? Listen, it's not wrong to have a desire to do well in what you do. However, what you do should never be disconnected from the identity Christ has placed over your life. And that identity as a child of God is to be his witness wherever you are. So if you're in here today, if you're in here and you would say, I'm a school teacher. You're not just a school teacher. You are a child of God on the mission field in the school system. If you're a nurse, you're not just a nurse. You are a child of God on the mission field in the medical community. If you're a construction worker, you're not just a construction worker. You are a child of God on the mission field in the construction, wherever you're doing construction. If you are a parent, you're not just a parent. You are a child of God training up your children to discover their identity in Him. But yet what happens so often is we spend our life climbing the ladder of success, and then we have the car, we have the job, we have the house, we have the family, we have the popularity, but yet we wonder why our life feels so empty. It feels so empty because everything we are was designed to be placed in the identity that we have in Jesus. But yet we spend our life chasing the life our flesh desires, and we hesitate to live on the Word of God. Friend, it would be such a shame to climb the ladder your whole life only to discover in the end the ladder was propped against the wrong wall. Apart from the Word of God, we can only exist. Apart from the Word of God, we can only exist. We cannot truly live. Life to the fullest begins in the Word of God. However, our definition of life to the fullest may look different than God's definition. I mean, Jesus lived the perfect life according to God's plan for Him. So therefore, Jesus lived life to the fullest. However, many of us would not be willing to suffer and sacrifice the way He did and call it life to the fullest. But that was God's plan for His Son. And God has a plan for each and every person in here that He wants to reveal intimately to you. And He wants to use Scripture to do that. Only the Creator can know what life to the fullest looks like for each and every one of us. If I was to hand you something I created and you couldn't tell me what it is, or how it's supposed to function. Only the Creator has the right to do that. And the Creator will have an owner's manual to reveal. Scripture speaks for itself. You know, as I was preparing this message, I was praying about how to wrap things up on a subject like this. And Christ just kept telling me, Scripture speaks for itself. It's amazing. It's amazing how we can spend our life placing everything we are into maybe a tangible thing, maybe a relationship or letting define us, maybe it's money, a job. And then when it starts to fade, we say, I don't know who I am without this. You know what though? That's the correct statement. That's a good statement. To say, I don't know who I am without this. It's correct when you're holding on to the right things. Because apart from Scripture, I don't know who I am without this. And that is why we study Scripture. God wants to reveal intimate things to you. He wants to do things through you. He wants to reveal His plan for your life through Scripture. And this whole week, I just kept hearing the words, Scripture speaks for itself. Scripture speaks for itself. And so I want to take a few moments and I want to go over some Scripture that has impacted my life, Scripture that reveals who God is, who I am in light of who He is, just how much He loves us. I want to do this. So we're going to go through these pretty quickly. Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Faith doesn't come through anything of this world, but through the Word of Christ. John 1, verse 3 says, through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. We are under His authority. He has naming rights over His creation. So don't let things of the world tell you who you are. Turn to the Creator. This one we probably all know. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This verse to me, it reveals how much God's love is for me, how far he's willing to go to call me his child, to give me an identity. He sacrificed his one and only son. Jeremiah 29:11, one of my favorite verses right here. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He is the one who knows what life to the fullest look like. He has plans. And I love how a lot of time I grew up thinking, oh, great, God's got a plan for me. No, he has plans, plural, for my life. And he wants to reveal it to me. 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. We can rest in the identity that we are his children. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who has called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Again, God's showing us who we are in him. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that it goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which it was sent. Scripture goes out. It never comes back empty. Scripture ministers to each of us separately. Because to be honest, I could stand up here for hours telling you things about Scripture. We could spend the rest of the year covering Scripture alone. And yes, you might learn some things, but God has a purpose through Scripture to minister to each and every person in here. And he does this differently for each of us. I might be able to help you, and Dale might be able to help you learn some new things. Yes, but God wants to reveal some intimate things between you and him. He wants to minister between you and him. So that's why he wants you to pick up Scripture for yourself, to develop these habits for yourself, so he can reveal things to you. Scripture ministers. The Holy Spirit ministers through Scripture. He also ministers through other areas, not just Scripture. He uses many tools, and we're going to discuss some of these things throughout this series. You know, sometimes, I remember back in December, I was preaching a message, and I just happened to look out somewhere over here and seen there was a young couple, and she had tears just welling up in her eyes as I was preaching. Okay. And then, like anybody does, we start to get a big head and think, what profound thing did I say to make that happen? What did I say? So, after the service, I was standing in the back. She came through and I said, hey, I couldn't help but notice as I was preaching, you were in a pretty emotional state. I just have to know, how did the Holy Spirit minister through what I said? She said, oh, it's nothing you said. It was a song during worship. You're dismissed. Go. No. But it was just a constant reminder that Scripture ministers differently. Worship can minister differently. Everything we're going to talk about this series, the Holy Spirit ministers in different ways to everyone. And this is why we have to dive in for ourselves. Because God wants to have an intimate relationship between you and him. And he doesn't want to reveal something to me that's just for you. We hope you have enjoyed this message. If you need someone to pray with you, talk to, or maybe you just want more information about our church, be sure to fill out a Connect card so we can reach out and help you take your next best step. Thanks again for joining, and we will see you back here next time.